Give us a vision this day, Lord, for the wonderful way you are reordering all creation. Through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. One of the great things about having a service in the morning is that I get to experiment with stuff. And if it doesn't work, then I'd say, well, I'm not doing that this afternoon. But that's not what happened this morning. So we're going to try a little experiment here. Don't fret, because some of you will be really happy about this. Those of you who like to nap during the sermon, nobody's going to notice. Because I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes and imagine. Just imagine as I try to rewalk you through the scene that Jack just read about from the book of Revelation. And it's Revelation, right? Because there's one. It's not Revelations. There's one revelation from God to all of us. And that's in John's last chapter of the Bible. So close your eyes and imagine, if you would, please. Imagine that an angel of God has just told you that he's going to show you the bride of the Lamb of God, the bride of Jesus. And this is what he shows you. You see a grand, holy city floating on the clouds coming down from heaven, from God. It is sanctified by God. His city is dazzling to behold. It's made of jewels and pearls and gold. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel adorn its walls, while the foundations are adorned with the names of the 12 apostles. It is the place where the old and new covenant come together and are now one, truly one, having both been completely fulfilled. While the wall encompasses the city, there are three gates on each of its four sides. And the gates themselves are massive pearls. And they are always open because all are welcome. There is never a threat to this great city from any direction. And while it's a place of complete security and safety, there are no threats to this security because it is all, everything is fully under God's loving sovereignty. And neither is there a need for a temple or a church building in this city. A temple being a place where heaven and earth come together, a place of worship. For now, God himself dwells with us in this city. He is our light. There are no more shadows, no night, no need for even the sun or the moon, for the glory of God illuminates and shines through Jesus, who enlightens everything with a light that never fades. Darkness is vanquished forever. And you see multitudes of people and nations and rulers streaming towards the light of this city. Everyone wants to bask in this illuminating presence of God that you are experiencing. It's warm, enveloping, secure, radiant, and good. You feel at home because you are. You are home. And everything in this city is clean and good and completely trustworthy. And everyone and everything loves God, knows Jesus, and is at complete peace with one another. But wait, there's more. There's a beautiful, pristine river like crystal flowing from the throne of God, where the Father sits with his Son Jesus at his right hand. And this river is teeming with life. As this river proceeds from the throne, it forms the middle street, the main thoroughfare of this grand city. And at its center, bridging the river, is this spectacular tree, the tree of life, the tree that was in the center of the Garden of Eden. You see in the center of this garden city, straddling the river of life. And this tree is always laden with fruit. Every month, new fruit is born, so there is food and nourishment for all, available all the time for God's people. There is no such thing as hunger, no such thing as greed. Children are scampering around the tree and gleefully picking and eating the fruit. They're relishing its sweet nectar as the juice dribbles down their chins, and all are fed and healthy and nourished and well. That's not all. The leaves of this great tree are a healing balm for the wounds of all that is past. All fear, jealousy, anger, dis-ease, pollution, and pestilence are healed. Even the scars of war, scars of inner wounds, are healed by the balms of the leaves of this life-giving tree. There is peace, God's peace, prevailing over all. And the light of God casts out all darkness, mistrust, guilt, and shame. His peace triumphs over everything. We all, with each other and with God in His great holy city, we're worshiping Him in complete fellowship with each other. We are one with God because God dwells with His people. God dwells with you and with me. Did you see it? Did you catch little glimpses, little visions playing like a video in your head? Could you get hold of the very vision that Jesus shared with John, his beloved, in his revelation to him? It's his revelation for us as well. And it was all introduced as the bride of the Lamb. Paul tells us in Ephesians, and it's revealed in John throughout the Revelation, that the church is the bride of Christ. Not the institution, not the building, not the service we go to on Sunday. But as we gather together, his people, we are the bride of Christ. This place, this holy city, is the church of God. Revelation tells us there will be a time when all of creation will be the church of God under his sovereignty. All nations and rulers and people will flock to be part of God's holy Garden of Eden city. Nothing will be in it that is not of God. But what about now? What about us? What about May 5th, 2013? Are we there yet? Remember the kids in the back seat? Are we there yet? What do you think? Are we there yet? We're not quite there yet, are we? But we are called to be the bride of Christ. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 4. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Does not God call us to be this new illuminating city on the hill? Has he given us all that we need as his church to get started? What's essential? Think about what's essential. What was essential, or what will be essential, for that grand city? What will be essential? Theologians over the centuries have had some discourse about what that river represents. I think it's pretty plain to see, and many are in agreement that it represents the very Holy Spirit of God. You know, and it fits in perfectly with our theology. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. We see the Holy Spirit, the river of life, proceeding from the throne where the Father sits with his Son at his right hand, flowing through the city, permeating everything, giving life to everything. It is the life of the tree of life, isn't it? And it is the life of the church, the life of that city. It is life that's available to us today, isn't it? Isn't it? Jesus told his disciples, and Vanessa read it just a few minutes ago, that the Holy Spirit, the Helper, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will give us everything that we need. And I know it's rattling around in your cage because it's rattling around in mine that we're not at the holy city yet. We're not there. And we're not. We're the in-between people, right? Like the cream in the Oreo. We're in between the resurrection and the eschaton. The resurrection and the time of the holy city coming down from heaven. But in this in-between time, God has equipped us in every way. The river of life proceeding from the throne of God, where the Father and Son preside and reside, is none other than the Holy Spirit himself, who, although not yet fully permeated in all creation, as in the end times, has been made available through Jesus to permeate his church, to permeate you and me for every good work. If we are truly God's church, we are truly equipped to be God's plan for the salvation of all creation. We're part of the plan. The Easter season is winding down. Only one more week after this. Today, perhaps you'll consider recommitting yourself to be the light of the world. After I stop talking, I'm going to remain here for a few minutes during our post-sermon worship time. And while we sing and praise God, I'll be here to anoint you and pray with you a prayer of recommitments and refilling of the Holy Spirit for all those who would like to come forward. And if it's your preference not to come forward, that's okay. Do as God calls you. But if you don't come forward, I just ask that you pray. Because we're not just praying for an individual infusion. We're praying for a church-wide infusion. We are the body of Christ assembled together. Amen? We are the people called to be drenched in the river of life. Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose blessed Son before his passion prayed for his disciples that they might be one as you and he are one, grant that your church, Church of the Apostles, being bound together in love and obedience to you, may be united in one body by the one Spirit, that the world may believe in him whom you have sent, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.